support your hosts of the TagCast podcast at Helium Comedy Club's Portland's Funniest Person Competition 2012. Both Terry Gile and Dustin Gatchel are competing this year. Terry's preliminary round is June 2nd at 7:30 p.m. and Dustin's is June 7th at 8 p.m. Audience votes are crucial in the prelims, so get out and support. June 2nd and 7th at Helium Comedy Club in Portland. 1510 Southeast 9th at Hawthorne.
Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.
And now it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Gile.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off.
See, because I paid a lake for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now. You ever Googled Blue Waffle?
Twat Waffle. Hello, and welcome to the TagCast. What are we on, episode 5?
What day is it? It's Friday?
It's Friday, episode 5.
Episode 5.
Gatch. What's going on, Terry?
Not too much. My name is Terry.
You are Terry.
I am.
And I am Gatch.
Hey, you know what I forgot to do?
What'd you forget to do?
Forgot to start the sound bed. Welcome to the TagCast Podcast, episode number five.
I like that.
Check it out at TagCastPodcast.com. This is my co-host, Dustin Gatchel.
Hello.
We got Jeff Simpson in the house.
What up to the turn up?
He provided us with excellent sound.
Whoa, I hear that excellent sound. That is that excellent sound.
We had that sound earlier and it was fake, but that was like real.
So, is it just locally we've been getting the crazy weather? I hate to, like, we're going to start it off with the weather talk or whatever, but it's just been, like, raining here in Oregon, and then it's all sunny, and then it's rain, and then sunny.
And then they threaten us with a good time of six days of sunshine, and it's overcast.
But is it this way every year of where it's like, it's not even July 4th, you know, and it's always raining on July 4th here, so it's not really out of the norm. I don't know. Maybe it's...
Well, I know it always rains during the Rose Parade,
yes.
The Rose City Portland thing.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I did hear? Like, Saturday night, they had like a 45-minute torrential downpour in Portland. A
tarantula?
It was raining spiders.
Whoa.
And so I don't know if you guys
John
know
Goodman
where this
when
is,
you needed him.
The guy from TCOR, Rod Black, he doesn't run the place, but he runs...
A marathon.
He runs marathons in the winter. But during his off months, he runs a tiger bar.
Yeah.
He doesn't run it, but he books bands there and whatnot. So you've heard of the band Lidless Eye?
Yeah.
They played up there for the final show of his May 20 bands, whatever thing.
Yeah. Metal Mathon.
Most of their stuff got flooded in the basement.
What?
They had to actually use other bands' gear. They're filing insurance papers. To hopefully get there, but you know how long that's going to take to get anything back. So, like, all their electronics, I guess, probably heads and microphones and whatnot, were in the basement, and then Rod was posting the thing, anybody have a line on or know where I can rent an industrial floor dryer, you know, because he had, like, 2 feet of standing water in their basement just from...
And it was, and I imagine he's got a lot of equipment. Like, collected over the years. He's been around forever.
Aren't you guys supposed to play it there this week?
Yeah, it's this month, next month, actually, June... I'm going to lose it here. June 22nd. It's a Friday night, and I wasn't trying to be mean. And I don't know if you listen or not, Mr. Black, but, hey, you could promote yourself on our show. Hey, we could do a little spot for the Chronicles of Rock Radio. But anyway, I posted the thing about a band who's playing up there, and I said... Not to say anything bad, but don't store your gear in the basement because I heard that some friends, you know, lost their gear. You know, I like to keep my gear in the car or the truck until we set up, and then I'm not going to be storing it in no basement. But yeah, so that was a sucky thing.
It's a cool
talking
place,
about
though,
crazy weather.
Tiger Bar is pretty cool.
I've never been there.
I haven't been there.
Chef there, and he's cool.
Oh yeah,
I've heard they have great food, and it's like a cool bar.
They serve tigers. it's like tiger meat?
No, they do serve that Charlie Sheen stuff. Tiger's blood.
A tiger's blood. That needs to be a hot sauce.
You drink that, you're fucking winning.
winning. How was he not winning, though? I mean, he was born into Hollywood family royalty.
Oh, come on now. He changed his name to Sheen just because he loved his dad. Emilio Estevez took the shaft because he didn't become a Sheen.
The shaft? What was that guy's name? Fred Williamson? He took shaft?
He took shaft. That's why he wouldn't change his name, because he had a sheen.
As I always say, take it from a clown. Or don't.
I don't like clowns.
What is it with people with clowns? People just don't like clowns, and they're like the symbol of kids, right? Like
parties.
It was the
episode one when we talked about why dentists don't dress like clowns, because kids hate clowns and dentists.
Yep.
But some dumb dentist might have thought, well, kids love clowns. I'll just look like a clown, I'll give them helium balloons shaped like elephant penises. And then we got on to talking about elephant vaginas and cat vaginas.
Oh, that's right.
That was our voyage, virgin voyage. No, but we did also talk about, I've never seen the Indian man two cats fucking. I've seen dogs having sex and get stuck together and you have to spray them with a hose, but I've heard cats wailing in ecstasy.
When they're in heat?
I think they're actually fucking.
Yeah.
Not too sure, but I've never seen the actual sex act of kitties or cats. I don't know if kitties do it.
They do missionary style.
Kitty porn.
They do missionary.
Why are they missionary?
One lays on its back, and the other one like moves all up close and snuggly up to their cheeks.
That's not how they do it.
How do
I've never watched it.
I think cats do it doggy style.
Well, I would imagine.
Cat style.
Why don't they call it pussy style?
I would imagine they do a lot like a lion, right? And you've seen like lions on Discovery Channel, right? And I think they'd probably do it like that.
Like a lion?
Yeah.
Like little lions.
So what day are you guys playing up there?
It's June 22nd. It's a Friday, and we're playing with Wolf Pussy.
At the Tiger Bar?
Yep. Have you ever played with Wolf Pussy? I use this in my stand-up act. This is my friend Jeff Simpson, who actually asked me if I've ever seen Black Pussy. And I said, only on the internet. But he's like, no, it's a band. They're playing at Ash Street Saloon. I was like, oh, then why didn't you say, have you ever heard Black Pussy? Because that kind of sounds like... And nobody understood. No, that's all right. I did that at Hawthorne or at a Baghdad Theater, and everyone thought it was funny because I think they'd heard of the band Black Pussy. Are they actually from Portland?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
the
guys from...
Hey.
Can you get that album on Amazon.com?
Black Pussy?
Yeah. Well, if you can.
I don't think you can buy Black Pussy on Amazon.
They're on the same label that Made in China.
Hey, you know.
Well, if you go to the tagcastpodcast.com, click on the Amazon link there, we'll get a kickback when you buy that album.
When you buy Black Pussy on the
internet. Yeah.
Hey, you know who recently friended me? You might know him. He plays for Nether Regions. You know that band?
Yeah.
His name is Joseph Wickstrom or something. He messaged me in Facebook, friended me, and said that Nathan Carson said he should know me because him and his friends have been telling him for years that he needs to do stand-up comedy. And since I've been doing it, he actually had me reserve a couple of tickets for him to come to Helium this weekend.
That's cool.
And so yeah, he's going to come.
Sweet.
And check out the thing. But I've heard good things about Nether Regions, but I've never heard them. They opened for Yob and
Norska. Yeah, they did. I saw
that
show.
And that was were
good.
They good?
Yeah, that was good.
Good stoner metal.
Yeah, good stoning metal. They were more thrashy, but good.
Have you heard Dog Shredder?
Yes, I have.
And those guys are seem to be coming up and
they are and
doing a tour.
Turned me on to him was Jim.
So many.
Jim from North.
We kind of had an
shout out. Shout out.
We kind of had an animal theme on Wednesday's episode. We got a lot of animal talking in. Now, that reminds me that there's a lot of good, heavy bands from Portland that have animal names, White Orange. Red Fang.
There's also a lot of.
Shredder.
There's also a lot of good
rabbits,
wizard bands out there.
Yeah.
What we need to do is combine the animal and the wizards.
So, Electric Turtle Merlin, or
no, just Wizard Eagle.
Hey, there's a weird, of course, you probably know this because you make it yourself.
Boar Wizard.
There's a doom metal band name generator that I found.
Yeah, I was playing with that the other day.
I found three that I actually wrote down and kept in case if I ever start a band in the next 5 or 10 years. One was Slow Goat.
Nice.
And then, you heard that? And then there was a, I can't remember the other two, but I'll get to them before we get out of this episode.
Right on.
I got them in my phone here somewhere. But yeah, I'd like to check out the Nether Regions. That's kind of a weird thing to say. I wonder if they did that on purpose for their band.
People have been asking me since Wednesday, since our Wednesday episode, people have been asking me, you mentioned your jean jacket, the SOD one. Is that like an old jacket you got? Is there a story behind that jean jacket?
There is a story, but I don't know. Fuck it.
Go ahead.
This show is about honesty, and I really doubt that the person that is involved with the story
whoever
would be,
lost it didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, or they would have been waiting. Okay, here's the story. That's a memorable night. It was Wehrmacht DRI, just like 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Satyricon. You were with me.
I was there.
I didn't even tell you because I was kind of ashamed.
Uh-huh.
But I was stoked at the same moment. So you remember how packed it was?
Yeah.
Dude, it was flowing out the door.
Yeah.
So
is that the same jacket you got that night?
Yeah, you remember it?
Yeah.
That was the one. So, like, I'm up in the front and I'm so fucking packed in at Satyricon. Rest in peace. Satyricon is gone. But we're in Satyricon watching, I think Wehrmacht was still on. And, like, I was getting tripped up. Something was up around my feet, and I had crazy kids because it was all ages, and they were stage diving and moshing about.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to hold my
ground. That place is weird, too.
And yeah, because it was kind of like opens up and then it gets skinny.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to fall, and I'm like, something's on my feet. And I reach down, and I feel this leather or Levi denim jacket.
Uh-huh.
And so I, people everywhere, I was like, I didn't want to go, hey, jacket. So I just kind of stuffed it in my pants a little bit and turned around and pretended I was freaking out so I could get out, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm gonna throw up or something, or just start, I'm fucking on acid, let me out, and just start running through, and then they clear a path. So I get outside and I was thinking, I'll give whoever's jacket back. It had a full SOD patch on the back, so I was like, unless somebody asks for this jacket, you know, it's not like stealing. I did feel bad that night because if I had an SOD jacket and I lost it, I'd be bummed.
Yeah.
They had also bought a DRI patch that they had not attached to the thing that was in the pocket, so I got a DRI patch for free and a new jacket. And then they had these,
I thought that had a different thing on the back, though. I thought it had like a maiden or something.
No, it was SOD, but then they had like some weird patches that said, fuck off and die.
Oh, yeah.
And like some little weird, like studs, but they weren't studs. They were like little metal bumps.
Uh-huh.
And so I took those off, and I took all the other patches off, and then I plastered it with my own patches on the front, you know, Napalm Death, Wehrmacht, can't remember, Slayer.
Kiss.
Napalm Death. Yeah, Kiss. Black Sabbath. Monster Magnet.
Winger.
Winger and Dokken. And it's hard to find a docking patch these days, but the weird thing about that is if the dude ever saw me, and I've it's been long enough to now that I have been brave enough to actually wear it to shows in Portland, if someone's going to say, hey, that's my jacket, I'll say, did it have all these patches on the front?
Yeah.
And he'd say, well, no. And he'd rip it off my back and say, but it was a 1-800-COLLECT jacket. you remember 1-800-COLLECT? Okay, here's the topper of the story. It's a 1-800-COLLECT jacket, but so which is like embroidered on the jacket where you can see it inside out on the back, but you can't see it on the outside because it's got an SOD patch.
So this is actually a patch?
It was actually a 1-800-COLLECT denim jacket. That was like kind of like a Marlboro jacket, you know? So it was like probably machine embroidered into it, you know. It's got this round thing. So
that was a huge advertising campaign.
Dude, with the 1-800-COLLECT SOD jacket, if you are listening by chance, I will give you your jacket. I'll give you your jacket back.
But it's, you have to you have to get 10 fans to listen to the show.
I'm not going to give your DRI patch back, though. I'll give you the jacket back, and I'm keeping the SOD patch.
Yeah.
No, I'm not, but I'm figuring it must have been someone fairly cool. Anytime I wear the jacket out, I get several.
How are you going to have proof now, though? Because now everybody's going to come up to you and say, that was my jacket.
Prove it. It had a 1-800-COLLECT thing. It's like, let me see your IP address and all your downloads.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
If you download the TagCast podcast. Yeah. Now, I'm being honest enough to come out of the closet of the to come out of the proverbial of I stole someone's awesome jacket
come
closet.
Come in the closet.
Now, if there was someone out front, or we didn't leave or sneak away, you know, if someone was like, "God damn it, I lost my SOD jacket," I would have said, "Fuck, I found it, dude. I was going to keep it, but
yeah."
So, about 4 months after that, Venomous Concept was playing there, which has members of Napalm Death and SOD, Dan Lilker. And I got to meet him and get his picture and find out that it's actually pronounced Lilker, because some people were saying, isn't it Lilker? And I was like, no, it's like Milker. It's like Milker with an L. Lilker. It's kind of hard and funny to say. But anyway, I didn't even wear my jacket to that show because it was at the same venue and it was a few months later. And I feel that's pushing it.
Yeah.
So that's my coming clean story.
Wow, I didn't even know that there was that big of a story behind it. And I was actually there that night, but I thought it was a different jacket. Just so many people had asked me since our Wednesday episode, I thought that I'd bring it up here.
Dude, you can imagine how many people asked me, dude, that's SOD, fucking awesome. And one time, like, I had recently, that day, just shaved, so I was all clean mugged and fresh faced. Uh-huh. And dude said, SOD. And I turned around and he's like, shit, you ain't even old enough to know what SOD is. And I was like, thank you very much, but I very well do know.
He said that to you?
Yeah, I'm not old enough to know what SOD is. Well, I bought it on vinyl in 1984, so you can go fuck yourself. No, still have it. It's scratchy, but it's still
name vinyl. Your top three albums from 1984.
Van Halen. 1984.
You wore out three copies of it.
Just kidding. I have to think just for a second.
All right. Do you got an answer to that, Jeff?
Yeah. My War, Black Flag, Wild in the Streets, Circle Jerks, and Minutemen, Double Nickels on a Dime.
Nice.
What a punk.
The Circle Jerks. That's Keith Morris, right? It was.
Yeah, yeah.
He dated Debbie Gibson for a while.
Yeah, for a while. Yeah.
Debbie Gibson.
I'm going to say just because of where I was at the time, and that's probably what Jeff was doing, because he was always kind of an edgy punker dude, you know. But at 1984 is when I had just taken my plunge into, like, thrash metal and death metal-ish.
Maybe like stuff. Anthrax kind of
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly, dude, because that was my first concert was Raven and Anthrax. So nice. I believe it came out Anthrax Fistful of Metal, 1984, would have to beat out Manowar's Kill with Power, which I didn't like that much, but no offense against Manowar, but let's get back to my top three. I'd have to say Anthrax would definitely be one. It's hard to pinpoint exactly.
I was just looking for three, though.
Just because of the time it would have to be Fistful of Metal and, like, probably, sorry to say, but probably Ride the Lightning. I mean, at the time, I don't know if you mean now. But then, I don't know. It's so hard to say, Gatchel. You're fucking with me. I can't answer that question.
I was
Frank Zappa had an album in 1984.
I was spinning Shout at the Devil with Sgt. Pepper's that year.
See? Shout at the Devil. Holy Diver was... Last in Line was 84, I think. Holy Diver was 83.
Yeah.
84, and then there was, like, all that crap that there was... Celtic Frost was coming out around that time. Morbid Tales, I think. There's too much. There's just too much. The first Exodus was coming out around, 85.
Well, let's take a look at what you guys are listening to in 2012. I recently checked out Today as of June 2nd, which isn't even here yet, right?
Today's not June 2nd. It's the first, you dummy.
Yeah. But it's Billboard's top 10 heavy rock albums.
You've been listening to some of those?
No, I just wrote them down, and I thought we'd go through. Maybe we could take a look into what the top 10 is. All right, number 10 is Five Finger Death Punch with
those
American
guys...
Capitalist.
I don't know how many people are in the band, but each one of them needs to be administered the five finger death. They're one of those bands like Nickelback. What did they do to the Bad Company song? What?
Oh, then Nickelback's on here too.
Oh, sorry.
I
just want to know why they had to ruin Bad Company by Bad Company.
I don't know. Who does that? Who covers the song that's covered by the song?
The band's name. five fingers.
I know. You couldn't get more personal than that.
And no offense against the Rocking for Ashton, but I won a five-finger death punch signed framed picture.
Yeah.
I sold it on eBay for $35.
Nice.
So that was a great prize. I wasn't going to use it.
Jared won the Nickelback one, didn't he, or Puddle of Mud?
I listed it at $19.99, and it went to $35 some poor idiot soul paid for.
That's great.
Yep,
all right. Number nine is Hailstorm with Strange Case of ...
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
They're kind of like pirate metal, right?
Are they?
I think so, like Hailstorm.
Can I make a prediction on this list just to ask if this shows up? Foxy Shazam? Okay, go ahead.
I don't know what that is.
Good, we'll talk about that later.
All right, next at number eight is Nickelback's new one.
You know what's weird to me? As much as Nickelback is hated upon by so many people, and there is a petition signed to have them not play that halftime thing at the football game.
It's like 50,000 people signed it.
Dude, their new album still debuted at number one or some stupid shit.
It was sold out in small-town Walmarts in Lebanon.
God, why?
I know a lot of chicks who like those guys.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense because their lyrics are so misogynistic. Okay.
No, they're just about fucking. They don't talk about slapping bitches.
They're not even.
No, they like it when you smack their ass, don't they?
No, that's Puddle of Dumb.
Oh.
Mud. Puddle of Mud.
Well, they're the same band.
Oh, Godsmack? Sorry, Ron.
You know, none of those bands are added at the classic rock station, so you know there's got to be something wrong with
it. Yeah.
You know what's weird? Or it's not weird. It's kind of cool. Another shout out for my brothers on K-Fly 101. I hate those corporate stations. We're internet here. We're pirate radio. But
arg.
I posted the thing on Carl Sundberg's site because he's pretty much the program director at K-Fly.
I sent him a free download Three Feather Pimp.
I said, serious question. Not trying to be funny or a dick or anything. With all the Nickelback haters and all the trash talk about Nickelback, why does a fine station as yours continue to play them multiple times a day? Are your hands tied? Is it payola? I said, I know that a lot of people don't think that payola exists anymore since the 50s, but there's proof of it that's not called payola. It's something else now, but they're still paying radio stations for certain.
Well, they're paying for airplay.
Now, he did not admit, which he probably has. He would have. He's a program director. He'd have no part of the payola.
Yeah.
He says the charts dictate what they can and cannot play. So what's the top is what they play, and he can.
I would imagine you got to
mix
stay
it up
in there
a little bit. And he has pretty much creative control.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool that he answered me.
It's a good station, though. I mean, overall.
Sometimes people are dicks to those guys, and they say stupid stuff on Facebook or whatever, and it's hard to get a straight, not a, hard to get a straight answer, but it's hard not to say
when people approach it,
piss them off and go, you guys are fucking idiots. Like, somebody sent him a message saying, oh, you play shitty music, and, well, I hate when you talk over the intro of the song. It sounds so AM. You should just introduce the song. And he's like, number one, douchebag, thanks for fucking calling and trying to tell me how to do my job that I get paid for. Number two, how many, you know, whatever. I don't even know what the numbers were. It was one, two, and three, but I don't know what all the... He was basically handing his ass to him and saying, shut your mouth, you idiot, because you don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, and Canadian bands get endowments.
They get subsidized.
Yeah, they get subsidized for the government just to get Canadian art out there into the world. So
they
bands,
get paid for show,
small
bands get paid.
Yeah, you could apply for grants there and get like mega bucks that'll just pay like $10,000 for an album just to record an album just because they want to get Canadian culture out into the world.
Yeah, I was benefiting some of that money.
Yeah, it's a great thing too. I mean, you know, yeah.
I don't remember what episode it was. Maybe one you were talking about. The Shark Tank thing where they put the band on there and the guy had previously done like a $6 million campaign on
Album
and
ended
up with a hit and made his $6 million back.
But yeah.
That's we were talking
a lot
about
of money to put into.
The Shark Tank guy was going to give him $200,000 and he's like, well, what's $200,000?
Doesn't buy you nothing.
He's like, that ain't Nickelback money.
Yeah.
That's what Dustin said, which it's not. To promote a record.
That was going to be Sun's new slogan, we ain't Nickelback money.
It's only $5. That ain't Nickelback money.
All right, we could go all day on this.
Keep going on the list there.
But number seven is an old favorite, not of mine, but I mean, I've never checked them out, but in recent years I've kind of thought I might. You know, Marilyn Manson with Born Villain. You know, he's withstood a lot of time. Maybe, you know, it's worth checking out. I never really checked it out back in the day.
A bunch of famous people on the record with him. I know that Johnny Depp plays on one song, so it might be the song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he plays guitar on one song.
I mean, he's always at the top of the charts and stuff, and I mean, he's kind of a performance artist, you know? I mean, you got to respect him on that level, you know, more than...
So close-minded.
Smart. But you ever heard him talk? You ever see?
Yeah. I mean, Rob Zombie is a performance artist. You know, I don't like all his kind of music.
Or Brian Warner or whatever his name was. He wasn't even a musician until he started his band.
He
was a journalist who did several or a few interviews with Trent Reznor, and then decided, "Fuck, this is cool. I'm going to start a band." And then he was already in with Trent, and like he signed him to their label. And then, I mean, not that he's
who you know in some ways, you know, performance artist. He knows what he's doing.
He's pretty much a genius as far as marketing and image and whatnot. But
opportunities too, you know.
And I really kind of at the time because of what was out there and whatnot, I enjoyed the first couple of Marilyn Manson CDs. And
I never really listened to him, but I imagine. I mean,
Superstar was
there's some good songs on there and stuff.
Good one. Downtown Albany Association comes to my store and says, "Please take down the poster of Marilyn Manson."
Here's was that the or was that the Mechanical Animals?
That was Mechanical Animals.
Yeah, because he looked like a chick with tits with no nipples, but still.
Very upset.
Yeah.
So what?
Take it out.
You know, and that's that kind of attention is very good attention.
And he knew it, and he used it to his advantage. You know, and that's where that's where the smarts came in. If you can use that to your advantage,
I don't know if it's because of the difference in the era of time, like when it was 94, 95, 96, when he's coming out with those albums that I said I liked.
Yeah.
Then by the time he's coming out with Mob Scene or whatever in the
2000s. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to think he's been around like 15 years or more now.
And like I kind of lost it because – and his music didn't really change that much. And his image did – I mean it changed, but it was radical and the same heart of his whole –
and the music's just creepy, and that's some good stuff, though.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
a good thing,
you know,
about it. It's always like got that weird kind of minor key with a weird keyboard in it or something. That's
slightly unnerving.
Yeah, and you're like,
which reminds me of like I recently put the old Orange Frampton stuff up on Bandcamp since it was so easy.
Right.
That last song that I put on there is so unnerving. I can't even listen to it. It's Orange Granja or something like that. But yeah, it's probably like a 12-minute jam, and then I edit it down to like 5 minutes of just strings going dun dee dun dee, two or three guitars, and then it's just trippy. It always after a while, I'm just like I'm standing in the hallway of The Shining. I'm seeing the blood just
poured out of the elevator,
and I see the little bicycle or whatever, the twins. All right, number six we have everyone's favorite, Shine Down with Amaryllis. Amaryllis Slim.
Another case of probably good musicians with awesome work ethic who like to get out there and promote and do their thing, but they just choose to play super shitty music.
When they first came out, their first hit was that cover of Simple Man that was horribly off key,
Who's
right?
Who's going to do Simple Man? Ruin Bad Company.
I know.
I don't know if you.
But that was their first song, though. That hit.
I don't want to spoil or anything. I don't know what's on the list, but Godsmack with their fucking Rocky Mountain Way has got me in a hizzy.
It's got you in a hizzy?
In this house, I'm in a tizzy. In the hizzy, because I listened to that several times without any DJ going, "All right, that's Godsmack with the new cover from Joe Walsh."
Jesus. Well, since when was it covered? Joe Walsh has a new album coming out.
It sounds
first
nothing
one in 20 years.
Not that I am a Godsmack aficionado, but that doesn't sound like Sully Erna.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And I was trying to think, this is some newish butt rocky band who is not Nickelback, it's not Shinedown, it's not Seether,
it's not
Five Finger Death Punch. Who could it be knocking at my door? So that guy died too, you know, the flautist from Minute Work.
Oh, really?
Found out that he got sued for the line from Down Under.
Oh, really?
They lost millions of dollars like 20 years after the fact because it was similar to a melody in a 1930s Australian children's song.
Whoa.
And I listened to it, and it did go dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, but it didn't do anything else anywhere near similar. And so,
wow.
And because they had earned millions and millions of dollars off that one song and already spent it, they got sued for millions.
That is fucked up.
So he went to his grave feeling like, actually, I bet he knew he's not a thief because he never heard that song, you know? He did grow up in Australia, but not in the 30s.
Yeah. Now, I have to take a moment of silence for some news that I heard today. You were talking about, I can't remember what you were saying. You were in a tizzy.
About?
Ween broke up.
What? They're still brothers, though, right?
No, they broke up.
They broke up as brothers or as a band?
Aaron Freeman, otherwise known as Gene, said it is time for him to retire Gene Ween. He's been Aaron Freeman doing solo stuff.
Those aren't their names?
No.
Dude, you're ruining the facade of Ween for me. I did not know that.
Yeah, Mickey Melchiondo and Aaron Freeman.
They're not even brothers?
No. They've been playing since like 8th grade. But yeah. I don't think so either. You know, I mean, their music has always matured, and I think it probably could have, but... What Gene said was,
I'm out of here. Fucking Ween broke up.
He said that, you know, I mean, sometimes for doors to open, you have to close doors, you know. And I've seen him 13 times. I've seen him 13 times. The last time was, well, actually up in Portland, but the time before that was a great show at the Les Schwab Amphitheater.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But, you know, I've seen him enough to the point to where I was almost like, I think I'm done going and seeing him anyway, you know.
Well, that's convenient.
Well,
just
13 times, you know, I mean...
It's kind of like Slayer for me. If they break up...
You know, I no longer really enjoy, like, being up there, like, trying to be up at the front every show. I mean, I do it because I don't know any better. But I don't, you know, dehydrate or rehydrate or anything. And so, you know, it's not like I'm 21, can handle that shit anymore. Taking a beating with all those kids and looking around and going, oh, look at all these kids, like, 16, 17 around me.
Do you like your friends knowing that, you know, if they go to the show and where's Gatchat? Oh, he's up front.
Yeah.
It's a Ween show. Where else would he be?
Yeah, I'll get down there, you know.
You know, honestly, I could only say that I kind of saw Ween zero times, but I did see him physically once. But then I went to see him another time when Caius opened for him, and then we left before Ween played. So, but I did see him open for the Foo Fighters. Which
that was the first time I'd seen him.
Yeah.
That was the first time I'd seen him.
That was a great show.
I didn't even know you guys then, you know. I mean, I barely knew you guys.
Yeah,
I was working with Lance, but I'd been working there maybe like 3 months, maybe.
I just remember getting there and there was all these Ween heads there with like tie-dyed shirts and
the guy that had the vest on that kept going, "You butt rockers!" up at Caius or whatever,
Caius.
And he kept jumping up and pogoing.
Caius. And they probably hated me and my friends because we were loving Caius like big time.
Caius would just let their hair just droop to the floor the whole time, the whole show. It was awesome.
And I was like, who are all these weird people and who is Ween?
Yeah, that's what I was
Ween?
Like.
So you had never heard of Ween?
No, I saw that Caius was opening up for Ween. I'm like, why the fuck would Caius be opening up for this other band? And
that
my
I've
friend
never
said,
even heard of.
He's like, oh, you'll like them. They're like, they might be giants. And I'm like, well, I like they might be giants, but,
are
you know,
they?
At the time,
they
no, they're not at all.
They are kind of.
Well, they're kind of, but I mean, they might be giants is total, like, happy music. You know, Ween's kind of, you know, not, they're kind of a darker side. But yeah, I could see the similarities for sure.
Quirky.
Yeah, quirky. Definitely.
Never, I don't think I've ever listened to they might be giants.
They're all right.
They have some.
For some reason, when I hear that, I think of 10,000 Meanings.
Yeah, they do Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, the dude from Breaking Bad. Yeah. That's all I know. People have told me for years, Malcolm in the Middle, that's a funny show. I've never watched it.
All right. Well, with number 5, we have the Avengers soundtrack. How are you guys feeling about that?
I don't know what's on it, but Avengers just got knocked out of number 1 3 days ago.
Oh, really?
It wasn't today. It was on,
so it had a metal soundtrack?
It was on Tuesday.
Yeah, it must have had a hard rock soundtrack.
So, check this
maybe
out.
With Foo Fighters or something. I've heard good things about the movie. I'm not a huge comic book guy, but I've heard good things.
Maybe 23 days at the box office,
uh-huh.
$500 million.
Wow. People loved it. People loved it.
Just got knocked out last weekend, over the holiday weekend, by
with what?
Men in Black 3.
Oh, Jesus.
Which made 70.
I mean, Jesus Smith.
70 million in the weekend.
So, you guys see the new Jack Black movie, Vernon?
Which one?
Oh,
I just was see. I just looked at the page today. I hadn't even heard about it. He's got a funny mustache.
Hey, funny mustache.
And that's funny because that other movie I was talking about called Margot at the Wedding with Jack Black, he has a funny mustache too. And the funny thing is, it's from like a few years ago, but he goes to pick up Nicole Kidman, and he's like, first thing he says is, the mustache, I had a beard, so I shaved the beard and I left the mustache just to see what it would look like. And then I decided to keep it because it looked funny. So I'm just letting you know that the reason I have the mustache is because it's comedic.
I did that one night at the Black Forest.
And then his wife was Jennifer Jason Leigh. And she said, did he tell you about the mustache? He thinks it's funny. And so it's like, that was the first thing he did to say, the reason I have this mustache is, because it was kind of a funny movie, but it wasn't. I sure do love that.
I did that one time. I had the creeper mustache going. I just took the beard and the goat off, and I only shaved it really skinny.
I only keep the creeper mustache long enough to take pictures of it after I shave my heavy growth off, and then I...
Yeah, see, my mistake was wearing it out to a show, and then following someone into the bathroom, and then...
Then what happened?
That combination did not go over well with the bar.
And then...
All right, so we got number four is Shadows Fall, Fire from the Sky. Have you guys heard of these guys?
I've heard of Shadows Fall. I don't really care for them. I saw them like 2004 with Lamb of God before Lamb of God was even really known of. It was the first Headbangers Ball tour after...
What's younger than a lamb?
A baby lamb.
A baby lamb of God, all right.
No, but they're all right. Their singer used to have like super long dreadlocks like down past his knees. Sounds a lot like, this is my opinion, he sounds a lot like John Bush from Armored Saint and Anthrax.
Yeah.
They're
I saw
thrashy.
Those guys on that tour, The Sound of White Noise.
I compare them with all the bands that are in their little group, like Killswitch Engage.
Number four? You said they're number four.
Yeah.
Killswitch Engage and fucking All That Remains and just... I don't like sorry.
All right. And number...
New metal kind of to me.
Number three is, I have no idea what this is.
That's a good band.
The band is Hot Water Music.
Oh, I know.
I've heard of those guys.
It's with Existor or something?
Yeah, they're on Epitaph.
They're fairly
good. Oh, really?
Weird.
Are they good?
Yeah,
I've heard a lot of good stuff about them, but they're punk, kind of?
They're kind of punk. They're kind of like, you know, I mean, they aren't straight edge, but they got that real kind of...
Well, that's cool. Hitting up at number three then, seeing some underground kind of good stuff up in there. That's cool.
Several times I see them play in Portland a lot.
Well, that's cool.
Hot Water Music, burn Hot Water Baby.
All right. And so you guessed it as your number two, the Godsmack.
Now, we got into a conversation.
Live and inspired.
At practice, Grief Hammer practice the other day, and Lance likes to poke Ron in the rib.
Oh, of course.
Figuratively.
I do, too. I always say Alice in Chains.
Oh, they're a lot better than Alice in Chains, says Ron Ferris.
Yeah, well,
and so we get into little... Well, I try to stay out of it because I
Alice
like all
in Chains
shit.
Has recently achieved legendary status, right?
Who?
Alice in Chains.
I believe because of their comeback, their new album was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
It's not that I don't like black people, but I did not have faith that that dude would be so awesome, and he's pretty fucking awesome.
Their old stuff has recently been like lifted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, their new singer is a black dude, and he's fucking good. And I think that he's doing most of the harmonies now. I think that Jerry Cantrell is carrying most of the main melodies, at least like on the hit singles.
So he's not heroined out anymore?
I don't think Jerry ever was.
No, he never was.
He had his head together like the whole time.
He was like the business guy.
Yeah. But, of course, we don't know. That's just what
I thought I
we
heard
think.
That he was behind the scenes. But
I'm sure he's done some heroin.
Heroin down or spend twice. Some time maybe maybe just spend a period of time
they had their downtime.
Guy who could try heroin a couple times and say that was fun but I need to keep my head about myself and
yeah. Do you guys want to guess what number one is?
So we're talking hard rock and metal or just a radio? Oh, we're talking Billboard
heavy rock
of new releases.
Just the top 10 of heavy rock category.
Of the year?
Of the week, June 2nd.
Okay, so these are charts. Yeah. Number one, I'm going to say Megadeth.
No.
Okay. Give it to me.
Tenacious D.
Well, fuck me. I love that. I would have never guessed that because I would like that. So I would only guess something that I thought would not be appropriate. I was like, Megadeth.
Rise of the Phoenix, number one it's heavy rock. It's not Billboard, though, you know, but still. Yeah, it's pretty surprising. Mental.
Terry's the only one in here who's actually seen Tenacious D live.
Yes.
I had tickets for last Saturday, but I gave them to somebody who has
MS. And then Ween broke up, and they're somehow unrelated.
I didn't have enough money to go to the show, but I did see him at the Schnitzer. I saw him at the Schnitzer. It was awesome. They had an opening act was Neil Hamburger,
Neil's award.
Is that any better than a turkey hamburger?
He had his hair all combed to the side like he always does, and he's telling the corniest street jokes, you know, like just terrible. And,
tell the one about how like why do they call it a hamburger when it's made out of beef, but a turkey burger is made out of turkey?
Yep. I think he did do that. But it was an awesome show because the Schnitz is a really classy place and they had a huge screen. And I don't know if you guys ever saw like the complete Masterworks DVD.
Yeah,
two.
That I lent to Jared and have not returned.
Basically the show. I think they recorded that the night before I saw them, but in Seattle.
So the Schlitz.
And so they like got electrocuted. They had a Cage's living room and they were rocking out and spilled some beer and then
was it Schlitz? Because I'm enjoying Schlitz at
the
Schnitz.
It was Arnine Schlitzel. You ate my fucking schnitzel. Well, if it was in
you
there.
You drank my Schlitz. Thing.
And I fucking stumbled across KG in a movie. He played. What was the movie? I think it was.
I think I've seen this movie recently on Netflix.
Yeah, and he was in a group of people that had a problem with their genitals what was the movie?
You're going to have to look in your Netflix queue, and then we'll link it up on the website.
He played a guy who got his penis cut off. Oh, that was right. The one dude had to have his balls. He got to have his balls cut off because he got attacked by this chick. Oh, what was it? It's coming to me.
My friend had his dog's balls removed just because he didn't want to look at him anymore.
So his mom invited him over.
I was like, man.
His mom invited him over and said that her furnace was messing up and she needed some help or something. And he walks in and it's like an intervention and it's all these people that have different things wrong with their junk. And KG was one of them.
I don't think we're talking about the same movie.
No, I don't think you are. I stumbled across it. I can't remember the name, but after my Kindle charges up, I will check it before the end of the episode. But you asked me before earlier what movies I'd watched. Why have you watched some recently that you liked? I haven't been to a new movie in years, so I don't watch new movies.
No, even old ones though are sometimes fun to talk about. I haven't seen anything.
I recently
know it's worth mentioning.
Rewatched The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, Stephen King. He's so weird. I'm trying to work on this for my stand-up, and I'm not going to do it because I don't have it down yet, but I was wondering the scenario, what if for the movie Pulp Fiction, by fate or strange chance, John Travolta and Christopher Walken's roles were reversed, and Christopher Walken played Vincent Vega, and John Travolta played the sergeant with a watch up his ass for 5 years. And then I was going to try to...
Well, he's probably had one anyway.
My Christopher Walken interpretation, but I can't do it right. I'm not good at it yet, so I need to work on it. I was going to talk about the Royale with cheese, and then I would have my John Travolta. Who,
you know, he's a Brokeback Cowboy.
He might be gay.
No, there's a picture of him.
There's a picture.
You guys
don't fuck
that,
with John Travolta.
Yeah, don't say that.
Hey, I heard it somewhere else. Will we be attacked by the Church of Scientology? Right. We apologize. We're just kidding. John Travolta is the heterosexualist man we know. Just because there was a picture of him tongue kissing another man on the internet does not mean that he's gay.
That does not. It could mean he's bi.
It might have been his son. And then that's just incest. That's not
have you guys ever gotten to a tire and rolled down a hill?
As a child, I did.
Yeah?
And I fucking fell over because I was lopsided because I had to take my leg off. I had to take my prosthetic leg off so I could fit in the tire. We had tractor tires at my grandpa's place. And Little Hill, my cousin Joe gave me a Lap-In pill. No, my cousin Joe, used to roll us down the hill, and he would be awesome at it because he was like 6 years older than me, so he could really get in there and keep his balance and roll right down the hill and then like hop out at the end. I would get halfway down the hill and then like go into not a roll but a side-to-side wheel flip.
Oh, that'd be bumpy, out. Right?
He's like, oh, you could put on my football pads if you want. I was like, do you want me to crash? This was before we even had video cameras to film the shit.
Yeah.
Like one time, the river.
No, Steve-O's not even doing that.
Like there was a side little swath of the river that wasn't the main flowing part of the river. Like it kind of separated and there was a little island, but it wasn't as swift and it was like 12 degrees for like a week when I was like 5 or something. And this little part of the river had frozen over enough to where we could go out there. We were like ice skating on the river. And that only happens like where Minnesota, where you can go skating on a fucking pond that's frozen over and not worry about it. So my cousin Joe thinks it'd be funny to get his motorcycle out there. Well, little dirt bike weighs a little bit more than a couple kids on a sled. And,
it sounded like it was going down.
Yeah, that was it, and he broke through. But it's hard to keep a motorcycle up on full ice. But,
yeah,
but yeah, I've rolled down a hill. Have you?
I have not.
Well, that was just.
I have not. Yeah,
this is a random topic question.
This is a random topic question. I was wondering maybe like other simple games that you just don't see kids playing these days.
Can I ask Jeff a question from Seth's point of view?
Yeah.
Have you ever owned a horse? Why is that funny?
What is that question about?
I just
horse.
Okay.
Well, no, so it was just more about.
Wait, I'm not a horse, but I've never.
Okay,
owned
sorry.
So you've never owned a horse. Have you ever owned a sawhorse?
I have owned sawhorses.
Okay. Have you ever owned a seahorse?
Yes, I've owned seahorses.
Have you ever seen a sawhorse on a seahorse?
Have you ever owned those? One of those sea monkeys?
I did own those.
I owned sea monkeys, too.
Yeah. I never owned sea monkeys. I want an ant farm now, though.
It was
though,
much like the South Park episode.
you know how
is that with the semen?
Yeah. He had semen in her belly.
I just had to suck it through the hose.
It's different, though.
You know, what was about worth the same amount was the X-ray glasses from the back of the comic book where you ordered the sea monkeys.
Yeah.
X-ray glasses. You mean I can see?
The guy kicking the sand.
Oh, and then there was speaking of kicking sand, right next to that was the ad for the Charles Atlas 97-pound weakling.
Or the spy camera.
Are you tired of spy cam. Yep. We need to. Do they still have those on comic books?
I don't know. We need to get some comic books and find out. Somebody, send us a message at contact
at tagcastpodcast.com.
And then, tell us if they still have those things. I'd like to know. We'd like to know.
Tagcastpodcast.com.
Did you know
don't forget tagcastpodcast.com.
Did you know that they sell, they have Judge Judy on DVD? Like,
don't pee down my neck and tell me it's raining, you little son of a bitch. Get out of my courtroom.
You got like 2 episodes on a DVD, and I'm wondering who buys
two
that.
2 episodes?
Who buys that? Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Is
maybe
totally,
if you're on it, I guess, right? You want to buy it?
Totally syndicated?
I don't. Yeah, but I was over at a friend's house. They had a Judge Judy CD, and I'm like, was your friend on there? Or why would. It's you so already so know how it ends, right? It's not like this. It's not
I
like a whodunit.
It's for all the, those
like
shows because
and don't have a DVR.
We have a friend that we know.
Yeah, it's crazy though.
From Eugene that was on one of those Judge Black dude Judge not Judge Joe Brown.
Judge
the Greg dude that was a from the
Greg
Oakland.
Allman.
No. Judge Allman, yeah. He was black.
Greg Cashew?
So she got on a show because her roommate moved out and, like, took the drum set and whatever or not. And then she actually mentioned on TV that he's like, well, what other stuff did he take of yours? And she goes, oh, he took the drum set and a guitar and some of my black comp CDs.
And my Judge Judy porn.
My black comp CDs. So Matthew Feltus.
Oh, he was on there?
He wasn't, but they mentioned the black comp.
Oh, nice.
Because it was Angie Anderson, nice. Formerly of Somewhat Envious.
There was that one guy from L.A., I can't remember, Slime or something that his name is. It's like a metal dude, but his act is that he pukes like green slime on people.
Is he on Nickelodeon?
No, but he actually, I remember he wanted to be on, he wanted to come up for one of the Sick Fests when I was doing the Sick Fests. And this guy, and that was the thing, but he was on Judge Judy or one of the shows. And the whole thing was that this lady went to, went to the bar and saw him, and she ended, he puked on her, you know, the big green thing. Yeah, and like it ruined her dress or whatever, but it was like in a sleazy club where, you know, the guy, you know, it'd be like going to the Dixie where the guy pukes regularly on people.
I think that puking on people is now a crime, I think, because I will mention a friend, but I won't mention his name as not to incriminate him or embarrass him if he might be listening. But one of my cohorts was recently at the Houston airport, and he had been at a pirate party for a couple days in New Orleans, and was highly intoxicated upon boarding the plane with his girlfriend, which both of them were wearing they were wearing pirate hats. That's right. It was a pirate party. Where, when they proceeded to try to take their seats, he vomited on five people on the plane. And he was promptly put in the pen, which I didn't know that a plane has a pen, but they have a holding area for people. And then they made everybody sit down, and the plane's not taking off till we get this felony puker off of the plane. And so then they took him to the Houston police department. They arrested him.
That's assault.
Yeah, so don't...
Well, it could be a toxic substance, right? He could have had anthrax, and he's spitting it up on people.
It was a lot of tequila, actually.
You're supposed to maintain some kind of civility.
That's right.
I've only flown on a plane once, and that was to Vegas.
If you're wearing a pirate hat and you're drunk as fuck, don't don't go on the plane, because you might throw up on someone, or you
No pirate hats in the plane.
You may be perceived as a terrorist also. I'm not too sure. Those pirates, they fucking hijack the plane or... Arg. That's what I found out. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I found out why they call downloading music and movies for free pirating music, because when every time you try to burn them onto a CD or a DVD, it has to be a DVD.
Arg.
Cheesy joke of the show. No more of those, please. I did write that myself, though.
All right, so we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but nobody missed anything.
You didn't miss my joke about the CDR.
No, we did not miss your joke. you got anything else to cover?
I want to cover hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha.
That's for those of you who don't know, some people use that as a slang term for a vagina.
Cover the hoo-ha, hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha. Let me pull up my pants. Let me pull up my notes here. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Hi-o.
You can go to orangeframpton.com and download our hit single 418. It is a weed-related 420 song, only 2 minutes till 420. Where's the fucking lighter? Better find it before the time comes. But it's free, and it's old school, like 1995.
That's awesome.
Holy shit.
It's been around. Been around the block, time of two.
It has.
I don't think we, basically for the end here, we'll maybe cover some plugs. Don't forget to shop at Amazon by clicking on the link at tagcastpodcast.com. Don't forget, if you have 50 cents or a dollar or $5 or a million that you want to give us, just click on the donate button.
Or if you know 50 Cent.
I think, you could donate him to us, because we need a good rapper around here. Christmas is coming.
Tomorrow night is your show at the Helium, right?
Yes, Saturday on the 2nd of June. That's tomorrow. And I'm going to be competing against 11 other contestants. They will choose three that will go on to the semifinals.
It's all audience participation at this point, right?
I believe the prelims are all audience votes. So I got about 8 passes
left.
All
right.
I've got about 6 or 7 people that have committed to come out and pretend like I'm their favorite.
You got
to
get a hold of us by Saturday morning, right, to get your free ticket?
Yep, and that's not very... That's just today is your last day.
Nope, do it quickly.
This weekend?
What's that?
So both of you guys are up?
No, his is actually next Thursday.
Mine is Thursday on the 7th.
Yeah, next Thursday. And he's going to be competing against 10 others. I don't know why my group is larger, but so you have a better... percentage of getting through.
Yeah.
So they're going
to just pick the top three on each, and it's all audience participation.
And then there'll be 24 at the semifinals. So they're going from 90 to 24, so it's a strong cut.
I have 15 tickets myself to give out for free if anybody wants some, get a hold of us for next Thursday.
I'm not trying to be self-loathing, but I do not.
When is that, Terry?
Mine is tomorrow, which is Saturday.
June 2nd.
Yeah. And, that guy from Nether Region said he's going to come, and Sean.
Sick.
And Nick Woos, former victim of internal decay, he's going to bring his wife down there, and they're going to laugh at me. And I don't know. To be honest, I don't really even plan on making it through this first round, but if I do, it will be awesome. As we talked earlier, I don't know. Expectation.
And
the sleep of monsters.
You know, this will be my second time. I only got one joke planned, and I don't even know which one that one is.
Dude,
I'm just going to pare it down to with one joke.
You can't do that. You'll get disqualified.
That's fine. What's the worst that can happen? I lose $20.
No, you don't.
I'm donating it to whoever wins.
You don't really lose $20, though, because I don't know if you heard this, but as soon as you get there, you get a $15 helium
certificate.
Oh, I know. So really, you're only $5.
And I get 15 free tickets to let people in for free.
Right, and if we expire or use all of our free passes, they can also still get 2-for-1 deal if you mention our name or whoever you're going to support, which better be us, goddammit. So if you call the box office and say, hey, I want to come to see Dustin Gatchel tonight on the 7th of June, they'll say, well, you get 2 tickets for the price of 1, which is $10. So it's a really nice club. It's very professional.
Yeah, it is. It's a great comedy club.
It is 21 and over, I believe. So
don't go to that other one in Portland.
Sorry, kids. No kids allowed. And then I wanted to re-mention for our last week's guest, Seth Milstein. He's having a great comedy show on June 8th. Will be the day after Dustin's thing, and that's with Christine Levine and Lonnie Brune at Diablo's.
Comedy holding strong in the Willamette Valley.
$8 in advance, $10 at the door, which is more than you're used to paying down there, but these are high caliber comedians from the big city. She's doing a Scotland festival this in the next couple weeks, so that's going to be cool. I think that's it. We mentioned the Sons of Confusion gig on the 30th.
Yep, and you can go to sonsofconfusion.com and download 2 for Flinching for free. We're still trying to give out 200 free copies of our entire album by the 15th of June.
And if we do, then we'll give you a free download of our new CD.
Yeah, we'll give some of those away. We'll give some away.
That didn't work out, right?
We gave away one last episode on the download code.
Hopefully our buddy Floyd has been listening, because I don't want him to have to sue us for residuals on this nice little ditty we've been using for the intro and outro. Hey, Floyd, you should make us some more music beds. You know, anything with no sound that's kind of a catchy little ditty.
It is.
Something like this.
Potato rise like a corn dog in the night.
Anything of this caliber would be perfect for us to... Wrapping up the Tagcast podcast. Here we are on the internet. But anyway, thanks you guys for listening. This has been episode 5. I'm Terry Guile. He is...
I'm Gatch.
He's Gatch, and we got Jeff
and Jeff on sound. And
background vocals. So, join us next week for episode 6 on Wednesday, right? And tell all your friends. Tell your friends to download us and listen to us, because we're kind of funny and, I don't know, kind of entertaining. So, check out this tune as we head out. Thanks for listening, you guys.
Rock on.
Later.